Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. Two championship games in the NFL that we will not soon forget. I know it just happened yesterday and everybody has been talking about it, but I can't remember a better championship weekend. Two overtime games with the players, with the coaches, with the controversies. And that's probably where we're going to spend most of today. And the AFC Championship game was about as good of a game as you'll ever see. Yeah, the first half was a little bit slow, but that fourth quarter and then into overtime was just spectacular between two teams that really deserved to be there and deserve to have that chance to go to the Super Bowl. But today is going to be a lot about the Nickel Robey Coleman and Tommy Lee Lewis. Why couldn't it be like, you know, Dave Smith and Mike Jones involved in this play? We have to have two hyphenated names. How about just the horrendous no call in the NFC Championship game?
Turns out I whacked his ass.
Wow. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm a little bit tired, man. It was hard to get in sleep last night. Yeah. Those two games, man, were awesome. And it's unfortunate that one of the games have to end the way it did, because it just didn't feel right that the Saints weren't going to the Super Bowl. You know, that was my whole contention yesterday. I think I was speaking for, you know, every fan in America that was watching that game, with the exception, of course, the Rams fan, because they benefited from it. But Nickel Robey Coleman admitted that he got there too early. He definitely committed either pass interference or hitting a defenseless receiver. By the way, two plays that were penalties that had been emphasized during the regular season basically now all of a sudden disappear in the playoffs. And quite frankly, I don't know what to tell you. You work really, really hard to win football games. And this is not to take anything away from the Rams going to the Super Bowl, because they had a great season too. And they had to go on the road and they had to tie the game up in regulation, which they did. And then they had to win it in overtime with an interception and a field goal from 57 yards. So like, they worked their ass off to get the win. There's no question about that. But I think all football fans, and I don't care who the helmets are, I don't care where the teams are being or the games are being played, when there's a call like that that isn't called, when it is so apparent and so obvious, and when the player that commits the foul admits it, when the NFL admits that it messed up, you basically are sending the wrong team to the Super Bowl. And I know that there's so many things that go into this. The mismanagement of the clock at the end of the game by Sean Payton was a disaster on his part. And I know that, you know, you still have to win the game in overtime when you get the ball in offense, much like Tom Brady did against Kansas City. But I'm just talking about one play in a vacuum. And that one play came at the most crucial time in the game. And it cost Drew Brees and Sean Payton. It did. And you know what? Were there bad calls throughout the game? Was there a missed call and a face mask here, a missed call there? Yeah, you could say that about every single football game that's ever been played, that there are going to be phantom calls and there are going to be no calls. But when there's a call that is this obvious and the player that is involved is admitting it, the NFL is admitting it, the Saints are scratching their head, and you have guys like Todd Gurley, you know, liking Instagram posts of him changing jerseys with the official on the field.
Well, he did more than like it. He posted it himself.
Yeah, he posted himself. Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a travesty that play took place without a flag. It's just a travesty. And the fact that the Ram players are acting the way they are about it makes it even that much more difficult to really grasp that the right team is in the Super Bowl. So I don't know. I think I speak for the far majority of fans that see a game unbiased. Now, and a lot of people bet. I picked the Rams to cover this game. You know, so you know, I was 2-0 in my picks, but that I don't really care about that. What I care about is getting it right, getting the right team in the Super Bowl. And I really do believe that the wrong team is going. And, you know, Coach Cowher, to his credit, I love working with a coach because Coach said exactly what you said to me this morning in my office. And you said, well, you know what, this it feels bad, but, you know, they had a chance to stop him on defense at the end of regulation to keep him from tying. And if they don't throw the interception in overtime, then maybe they have a chance to win the game that way. And they had many opportunities after that play to go ahead and win that game, and they didn't win it.
Well, both things can be true. And this is these arguments, this is why they drive me nuts these days. Because, you know, there's going to be one side that says everything that you're saying, which is right, that the Saints should have won the game right there, and that cost them an opportunity to win the game. But it's also right that the game did not end right there. Right. And I watched a team later in the night, the New England Patriots, that, you know, everything that's going on in that game, they win the toss, they get the ball in overtime, and they go right down the field and score, just like they did in the Super Bowl when they came back from 28-3 against the Falcons. They got the ball, they scored. And the New Orleans Saints had that same opportunity in their building with this great season that they had, with everything that they've been able to accomplish offensively, and they threw a pick. So, I mean, but both of those things can be true, where they did get robbed, but they also have themselves to blame for not taking advantage of the opportunities that were given to them.
I would also say at the end of regulation, the Saints did just exactly what you're saying. He hits Ted Ginn. It's a beautiful pass. And then that's where all of a sudden the whole fiasco starts with Sean Payton throwing the ball on first down and, you know, leaving time on the clock, allowing the Rams to hold on to one of their timeouts. I mean, all those things lead into this. But for me, you know, I think I played in like 185 games or whatever. And I'm sitting there and I love this sport. I love the sport. I love the NFL. I love the whole excitement of it. And that's why I think we all were a little disappointed in the games in divisional weekend, but these two games were unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
And there were there's so many things to talk about, so many plays that were either made or not made, so many calls by officials, so many calls by coaches, fourth and ones. Do we go for it? Don't we go
fake
for
punt.
It? Do we fake punt, save our season? I mean, it's crazy the amount of things that happen in these two football games, and to have two championship games going to overtime. From a TV standpoint, I'm like, this is awesome. It doesn't get any better than this. And that's why, at least for me, I speak for the majority of football fans out there, that the Saints got screwed. I couldn't say that on TV that way yesterday. They wouldn't let me say it that way. That's how I wanted to say it. I could say it here on the radio because it's Weekend Boomer versus Weekday Boomer. They just basically got screwed out of going to the Super Bowl. They did. I don't care what anybody says. And don't talk to me about other plays in the game. You know, this play happened at the end of the game, and it should have been called. And the Saints should have been able to attempt the field goal with basically 2 seconds on the clock. They win it, they kick it, they win it, and they walk off, and they're on their way to Atlanta. Sorry, that's just the way it is. And I'm not arguing about anything, and you're right about your assessment of the way that they could have won the game. But, man, could you imagine if it were the Vikings about if it were the Jets or the Giants?
No, listen, I understand. And, you know, everybody's got horrible losses as a fan, the ones you'll never forget. Now, the Saints have back-to-back with the Minneapolis Miracle and this one. But I think that it's extra annoying and extra frustrating for the fan when it's something that has to do with the officiating. And this is not like a judgment call. This isn't one of those things where it's like, oh, well, maybe you could see it one way. No, I mean, it was two calls. Calls that were missed that were about as obvious as you could imagine. And I guess, you know, really, and you get an explanation from Alberto Riveron about, yeah, it's a blown call. And I know the pool reporter with the head official yesterday said that, oh, you know, I didn't see it. I have to go back and look. It's a judgment call. What I really need to know is the guy who didn't throw the flag that's right there. I mean, how don't you give me your explanation? And I guess the idea of letting them play, which I generally like, where you don't want the officials to decide something like this, led to that. But this was so egregious that there was just no way you couldn't throw the flag.
By the way,
whacked his ass.
Yeah, you did. At the end of the day, if the Roby Coleman isn't there, that's a touchdown. Yeah. The ball is right there.
We got to call him NRC or something.
Whatever,
man.
But I can't do it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right there. And the post game reaction from the Rams players just makes it even worse.
Well, okay, so you're saying the way that NRC dealt with it Gurley?
I thought the way he dealt with it was fine, but the way that Todd Gurley and then you got Marcus Peters going over there.
Well, he's just...
I mean, yapping at Sean Payton.
He's the
worst. Come on, man.
He is the stone worst in the NFL when it comes to a guy with any class or anything. I mean, honestly, you think about the way he's played this year, he's always running his mouth. He actually took the high road, the SOB, leading into this game. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever, I got respect for him. But then the second the game ends like that, you got to run up. I was hoping when I saw him go over there that he was actually going to go shake his hand, and that would have been a good sportsmanship thing that happened at the end of the game. Then I find out that he's talking trash to him. I mean, you know, you're not that good to be doing this. I mean, not that anybody should be acting like that, but especially him. So, yeah, that wasn't any good. You know, the Todd Gurley thing, I guess, I mean, he shouldn't have posted
and
that.
He didn't even play. He got basically benched in this
game.
Well,
I don't know how healthy he is.
No, he basically said after the game, I'm healthy, but I was sorry. That's how he put it. I was sorry.
Was it because he dropped that pass that led to a pick?
But he's not sorry in a sense that I'm sorry that I didn't play well. He was saying that he was sorry on the field. He was terrible on the field, and he didn't deserve to play. So at least he recognized just how inconsequential he really truly was.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Of course you
can. And I said this yesterday, and of course you get all this kickback and everything. I don't really care. You know, you say something because you want – people to really think about things.
You got kickback?
I get kickback about a lot of things. I mean, some numbnuts out there actually said, you know, because of what happened to my previous partner, I shouldn't be allowed to have a commentary like I had yesterday at halftime.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, you know, somehow that's related to what I'm saying on Sunday afternoon. It's like, and this is like some guy in the media, by the way. Yeah, I'll let you get him on the phone. We can get him on the phone. Maybe you can call and he can talk about it if you'd like, because he's sentenced like a 2-year-old. But anyway, but that's the Twitter world we live in. So when you say something, you got to worry about there's going to be some blowback. But here's the thing that I think. Is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer? He's the second leading receiver in the history of the playoffs and postseason.
Yeah.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
I mean, it's tough with these receivers because we see so many guys this day and age with these ridiculous numbers and not all of them are getting in. You know, you see these guys like, you know, Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce, those Rams guys, and, you know, guys like Hines Ward. I mean, there's so many of these receivers that they all get clumped together. And I mean, maybe eventually down the road, and we'll see how much longer he plays. But at first blush, I'm thinking, no, it's probably going to be difficult for him to get in with, if you look at his peers.
I don't know. He's got 98 catches. He's got 1,175 yards. He's not only a receiver, he's also a kick and punt returner as well.
Does the PED suspension hurt him?
I think in the NFL, it's for some reason people don't really give a damn.
Yeah, but I wonder if it's a first ballot thing or a second ballot hole.
I don't know. Just saying his numbers in a regular season are very, you know, they're good. I mean, and I'm sure he makes as many big plays in the regular season, but in the playoffs, man, that dude shows up.
Oh yeah, well,
I mean that dude shows up, and he's
incredible.
He's unbelievable. I mean, is there a guy more likely to make a big play than him?
No. And Gronk, by the way, who has
showed up yesterday.
Yeah, who has been completely dead, showed up in the biggest of spots. And Tony Romo couldn't have been better yesterday calling that game. He really could not have been better. The fact that he called the Gronk thing, said best player one-on-one out there, even though I don't agree that Gronk's the best player. But he
it's
said
a mismatch.
It's a mismatch. One-on-one. Yeah. They've been waiting for this all day. You got to throw it up to him. He does that.
Twice. He did it twice. He did it on the third and 10 on a slant pattern. And the other one, obviously, he threw down the sideline, the go pattern.
And then he nailed the two Edelman ones as well. He goes, this guy's got a chip, that guy's got a chip, Edelman, middle of the field, boom. And then he goes, here it is again, Edelman, middle of the field again, boom. So, I mean, he was
on it from that standpoint. There's no question about it. And the other thing, too, it makes you wonder what in the world, you know, Bob Sutton's thinking about. You know, he's the defense coordinator of Kansas City, and you're thinking, okay, you know, you can't double everybody. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. So who would you want to take away in any of these situations? I would think that Edelman would be the guy that you'd really want to take away. The problem is that the Patriots are so unbelievable with the players that they have. Like, you know, they don't have Pro Bowlers and all pros over there, with the exception of the quarterback. They have James White, Sony Michel. They have Rex Burkhead.
Yep.
A Bengal cast off. They have Chris Hogan making great catches. Edelman makes great catches. Gronk makes great catches. Cordarrelle Patterson makes catches. Philip Dorsett making a touchdown catch. I mean, so what they have is they have all these interchangeable parts, which is really, at least from an offensive standpoint, it's a real validation of Bill Belichick picking players. He knows the players that he wants. And, you know, it's legendary that, you know, he meets all these players at the combine, talks to them and everything. He once told Vrabel, he goes, I don't think we could draft you because we don't have a pick high enough to draft you, but someday you're going to play for me.
Yeah.
And then when Pittsburgh, you know, he left Pittsburgh, where'd he go? He went to New England because Belichick remembered it from college, remembered talking to him, remembered being impressed by him, knowing that someday he was going to be on his team. So that's a pretty good story. But it also kind of shows you, like, look at the guys they have on their team.
Yeah. I mean, and
look at their left tackle. He's making $750,000.
Right.
And they traded for him a seventh round draft choice from the San Francisco 49ers, where he played right tackle.
Right.
If you put that guy on the Giants offensive line, he sucks.
Solder, right?
No, but he sucks. He can't play. But all of a sudden, you know, you put him on the Patriots. Dante Scarnecchia, their offensive line coach, one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league. They get convinced to come out of retirement. And all he does is just take these guys, turn them into gold. But then Josh McDaniel says, get rid of the ball in under 3 seconds. Anybody can block.
Yeah, and can somebody tell me, too, at the end of this game, how the Chiefs' defense looked like they wanted the game to end? I mean, is that all hats off to the Patriots and the way that they do things, and they're just more prepared in these spots?
Well, remember,
and Nance and Romo were right. They should have called a timeout there because they were just getting pushed around.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the Burkhead touchdown to win the game, it was basically like they seemed relieved that it was over more than anything else.
Two things about this game that I wonder. When the Chiefs had the ball at the end of regulation and they were going down the field and it was like right around 2 minutes. I'm wondering, and I got to look back at the tape. We didn't have a lot of time to look at the tape last night. You know, we're trying to, you know, do our thing and all that stuff. I wonder if the Patriots let the Chiefs score to get the ball back. So then Brady could go down and score. You know, that was 4 point. It was 4 point difference, I believe. Right. So then he has to go down and score a touchdown to take a 3 point lead.
Right. That was after there was the Damian Williams rushing touchdown.
Yes.
Right after the Sammy Watkins play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he got in very, very easily.
No, not that one.
Not that one.
No. At the end of regulation.
Okay.
So there's 2 minutes to go in the game and the Chiefs score.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering if the Patriots let them score. So then Brady could come back and go back down the field and score. And then they leave 39 seconds on the clock. And then 2 plays later, Mahomes has got Butker, you know, kicking the game-tying field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, was it not great to watch field goal kickers make their field goals yesterday?
Oh, yeah, I know.
I mean, that was all. I mean,
Greg Zuerlein.
Oh, my God, 57 yards to win the game?
Well, how about the one to tie it, too? It was 48, so that wasn't a chip shot either.
For him, though, like that's 57-yarder would have been good from 75 yards.
Absolutely. Yep,
well, what a weapon he is. And I wonder, if that pays dividends in the Super Bowl.
I wonder if he'll go on the Today Show after that performance.
After that performance, he deserves going to the Today
That's
Show.
That's right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.